Instead, we're going to be looking at the life of Christ. Today, we're going to be looking at his birth. You got to have your Bible, man.
Sorry, boss.
That's okay. Next week, we're going to dive into Christ's earthly ministry. And of course, that's going to be hard to stack, you know, his years of ministry into 30 minutes. So I'll see what I can do with that. The third week, I want to talk about his death. And then the fourth week, I want to look at his ascension and his resurrection and his ascension. And so that's going to be my theme of what we're going to look at for December. But I don't want you to not have the pages to read the scriptures that they have listed there. I found this picture on the internet, and it made me think about Mary, the mother of Jesus, and what she had to go through as a young lady. Did a bunch of research on it, and again, as with anything in the Bible, a lot of times, you know, the scholars and writers and all don't mesh. But you know, think about it. Here's this young woman who is betrothed to Joseph, and depending again on which commentary or writer that you read, we look at betrothed as being maybe an engagement. Depending on how you interpret the scriptures, some think that is marriage. And when you go back and you look at the Jewish laws, when they would be betrothed, and we got to think, you know, Mary was probably a young teenager at this time. We don't know her age, okay? But she was a young teenager. And in the Jewish ways, you would be betrothed to a man. He would stay at home, and she would go back to her home for a year, that they would be separated, okay? And so it's during this time frame that we read about. And then they come back together. And Mary went to see Elizabeth, her cousin, who was John the Baptist's mother. And she was possibly 6 months pregnant when Mary went to visit her. And she stayed with Elizabeth for 6 months, 3 to 6 months. Okay. So when she comes back, she's starting to show that she's pregnant. And of course, being apart, when you look into Matthew chapter 1, Joseph was going to divorce her. Okay, he can't divorce her if they were not married. So that's the reason they say that they were married during this time frame. And he was going to divorce her because, hey, you know, we haven't been together and here you are pregnant. And of course, the Lord, an angel comes to Joseph in a dream and says, no, you can't divorce her. This is, you know, from God. And so he doesn't. You know, but when you look at this picture, it kind of brings all this together of what Mary was facing. You know, sometimes you might think of her being not human, you know, but she was. And she was facing all the pains and the agony and the anticipation that, you know, a mother would normally face at this time. And she's getting ready to give birth. And to me, this picture really kind of summed all that up into one thing. Here she is. She's in the stable. She's leaning against the manger. It's coming. This baby is coming. And she doesn't totally understand it. You know, how she got pregnant without Joseph. So this is all new to her, too. And, you know, so there's excitement, but there's also anxiety and everything else that she's facing as this young mother about to give birth. And so that's the story that we're going to look at this morning. But before we do that, I want to look at four scriptures in the Old Testament that foretell of this event. We were looking at this morning in class about how Daniel is foretelling the future of what's going to happen, okay? Well, here we have prophets in the Old Testament prophesying about something that's going to happen, you know, 1,000 years from now. In Micah 5, verse 2, "But you, O Bethlehem," and I have these couple of words highlighted because we're going to see these when we get into our story, "who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days." And then in Isaiah 7:14, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." And then Isaiah 11:1, "There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit." Okay? So these four verses, and I think there was like 40 total, that gave predictions about Jesus' birth. But this is something that was foretold that was coming. Please read Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke 1 and 2, because I'm just going to pull out certain verses. I'm not going through the whole thing. Matthew 1 gives us the genealogy of coming down for Joseph, even though he didn't have any say-so in this. And then Luke 1 gives us the genealogy of Mary, okay? They have the same lineage from Adam to David. And then at David, they branch off Joseph and Mary having different trees that they followed. Side story here. I got contact. I have a family tree posted on Ancestry.com, and I had somebody request that I put my DNA on a website so he can read it, because he was trying to tie these two Joneses together from family trees, and he wanted me to post it. And I said, "Well, I'm not going to do that." I said, "How does this tie, you know, the two tie together?" And when I went back through my trees, he's showing one on Kathy's tree and one on my tree. And I went to Kathy, I said, "We might be relatives." So, and that's true. And of course, all of us are relatives. We can all trace our trees, if we could, back to Jonah. I mean, to Noah, okay? But anyway, so we're going to look here in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. "In the sixth month," and there's a lot of discussion on what the sixth month is. Is this sixth month in the calendar, which would be our June, but in the Jewish calendar? Because in the verses prior, it's when Mary went to visit with Elizabeth, and she was pregnant, so it could have been in her sixth month, or 6 months from there. Anyway, there's discussion what that sixth month is. "The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin," one of the words that we just read about being prophesied, "betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David," and you'll see that in the genealogies, "and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, 'Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be." Continuing on in Luke 1, verse 30. "And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. And you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David.'" Okay? So here again is this young teenage woman being confronted by this angel of God and telling her that she's going to bear a son. Okay? Again, when we go back to that picture of Mary, that would be frightening for a young teenage woman to have this angel appear to her. Okay? She doesn't understand it. And so that's the reason she was fearful of it. Verse 33, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be, since I am a virgin? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Do you think that cleared it up for Mary? I don't think so. Okay. Again, that's the reason I think that picture was so profound. Because here's this woman who is a virgin, is pregnant, and about to give birth. And she might be thinking, what am I giving birth to? You know? Of course, she doesn't understand who she's given birth to. Luke goes on to tell us in chapter 2 that Caesar Augustus put out a decree that everyone had to be registered and they had to go back to their hometown, kind of like our census taking. They were required to return to their home city. Mary and Joseph go to Bethlehem, the city of David, which Joseph was a lineage of. Okay, and again, if you go back and look at that lineage, both of them, they go back to David, so they both go back to Bethlehem, the city of David. Now we're going to go to Luke 2, dropping down to verse 6. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. Now, one of the things that I want to do is to clarify any confusion that we might have when we see these manger scenes in storefront windows. When we see him in front of people's homes or maybe even in front of a church, because the characters that they have there do not line up to what we're going to read this morning in Scripture. Okay, so I want to bring these scriptures out to hopefully clear any confusion that there might be. Going on in Luke 2, verse 10. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news, and he's talking to the shepherds, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign, remember we read in Isaiah about there being a sign, this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with that angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God. Okay? So an angel has appeared, along with other angels, to the shepherds in the field to follow their sign to go see this baby Jesus. Verse 21. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens a womb shall be called holy to the Lord. So this was Mary's first son. So they had to go do this purification according to the Jewish law and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and 2 young pigeons. Now going on, let's back up to Matthew chapter 2 in verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Again, now the wise men have a sign, which is a star that they have followed, and they have gone to King Herod to ask where he is, okay? Which is going to bring up all kinds of problems. Verse 3, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him, and assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea. Okay? So now the king knows he's born in Bethlehem. Verse 7, then Herod summoned the wise men secretly, and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." Okay? So the king, through his advisors, his Jewish advisors, have told him that, look, this is the king of the Jews. Well, Herod doesn't want competition, okay? So he wants to know about this Jesus so he can get rid of the competition, okay? That's what's going on with Herod. Verse 9, after listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly and with great joy. And getting into the house, okay, there's a key point there. A lot of times when you see these nativity scenes, they have the manger and the stable with the animals and the shepherds and the wise men with the star up above it, okay? The wise men did not go to the stable. They came to the house. So this is sometime later. Everybody agrees it's probably 2 years, because as we're going to read, Herod wants to kill the boys from 2 years and younger. Maybe he's only a year and Herod is wanting to make sure, so he goes a year out and kills everybody from birth to two. But we know by just reading this right here that it's not still in Bethlehem at the stable, okay? And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Okay, because there was three gifts, most of those scenes that you see around the manger are three wise men. Scriptures that we just read do not tell us how many wise men, but there were three gifts. There could have been three. One brought gold, one brought frankincense, one brought myrrh, but we don't know. It could have been six, and two brought gold, two brought frankincense, two brought myrrh, or, you know, it could have been any number. It could have been two. One brought gold, one brought frankincense and myrrh. We don't know how many wise men. All we know is that they brought three gifts. In verse 12, and being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, okay, because Herod wants to kill the baby Jesus, they departed to their own country by another way. Okay? So they're trying to keep the baby alive. Verse 13, now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And I'm not going into the scriptures, but again, Herod, he realizes that the wise men have not come back, okay? And so he sends people, troops, to Bethlehem to kill all the males from two to birth. He wants to make sure that he gets this baby Jesus. Okay. But the Lord, an angel, has warned Joseph, get out of Dodge, go to Egypt until it's safe. I'll tell you when to come back. Okay. And in verse 14, and he arose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, that out of Egypt I will call my son. Hosea 11:1, when Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. Again, another prophecy about Jesus, thousands of years later, that came true. The rest of this chapter tells us about how King Herod became so angry that he realized the wise men had tricked him. And again, so he had all the young boys from two to birth, newborns, killed. Okay. And again, this is why scholars believe that Jesus at this time might have been 2 years old. To me, I would see maybe earlier, because if he thought he was 2 years old, then why, you know, kill the newborns? So he does it. Again, we don't know the time frame between Christ's birth till now. All we know is that Herod killed all young boys from two to newborn. Okay. But again, Joseph listens to the angel. He grabs his family and they go to Nazareth. When King Herod dies, an angel comes back to Joseph and tells him that it's safe to go back home. And they return back. Okay. So that is the story of the birth of Jesus. And again, please read Matthew 1 and 2 and Luke 1 and 2, because I didn't cover everything that was in there. I wanted to keep it short. I did not go over Joseph because, again, he's not the earthly dad of Jesus. He does become his stepdad. He is father, as we've studied in our Sunday morning class, he is father to Jesus's stepbrothers and sisters, okay? The half-brothers. So I didn't go over that. But hopefully this you understand a little bit better, maybe cleared up any questions that you might have had on the birth of Jesus, straightened some things out maybe in your mind. But it's important because it's the birth of Jesus. And he had to go through. He didn't just appear on earth as an adult, okay? He came into this life as a human. And understand, Mark doesn't refer to anything about the birth of Jesus. He starts up later on in his ministry or before his ministry. And John starts off from the very beginning, okay? The Word was in the beginning, and the Word was God, and that the Word became flesh and blood and dwelt among us, okay? Imagine Jesus being in before beginning, before the creation, helping God design everything. Okay, the heavens and the earth, and then becoming a human, becoming a baby. And he did that for us. He knew what was going to happen. He knew that he was going to be denied. He knew that he was going to be rejected. He knew that he was going to be arrested and be tried and be beaten and be nailed on the cross, and he was going to die. And 3 days later that he was going to rise up, and then 40 days later ascend into heaven. He knew all of that and did it for us. There's a wonderful song out there, Mary, Did You Know? You know, that your baby boy was going to rule the nations, that he, you know, all of these things that he was going to do. And she didn't. Mary didn't know that. She didn't understand what was happening. But she went through it anyway. You know? And so this is the start of our wonderful story. This is the start of why we are Christians today. And so I wanted to start this month talking about the life of Christ with his beginning. And it was our beginning as well, as Christians. So as we go through this month looking at the life of Christ, hopefully I can bring it across in a way that, you know, maybe it's something you didn't know, understand, or maybe you didn't know. Okay, if not, if you understand it and you know it all, that's fine. You know, it's good to refresh our minds with it. If there's any way that we can help you this morning, let us know. Let us help you. Let us encourage you. Let us pray for you. Well, if you haven't put on Christ and that's something that you need to do, we have a baptistry that's ready to take care of that sin problem. Please let your wishes be known as together we stand in